almost 100 years ago. But the top of the list, he said, people that succeed must have a definite aim in life. And that certainly is true of believers. We need a definite aim. We talked about that, I think, in our first message. Make much of the Word of God. And as we do, we're going to glorify Him through His church. And then secondly, he said, people that succeed have to have some self-confidence. And our confidence is in the Lord, but He gives us confidence to approach Him boldly, confidence to witness, confidence to live. So confidence is important. The second message I want to preach today is on the subject of practicing prayer. Because outside of the Word of God, making much of the Bible, we've got to have a living, active prayer life. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles there, open to chapter 6, verse 18. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul said that, concluding his passage on putting on the whole armor of God, and all of those pieces of armor are so important. But then, after you get all dressed up in God's armor, helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, then you got to pray. Above all, he said, praying with all prayer and supplication. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. Most of us, if we were honest, would say my prayer life has a lot to be desired. Earnest, and I'm not talking about time spent in prayer. I'm talking about just having a spirit of prayer, an attitude of prayer. A watchfulness, he said, watching thereunto with all perseverance. So I think this is a message all of us need, and I hope that you will listen carefully and take home something today from the Word of God as we talk about prayer. Before the message, though, we're pleased to have a message of music by mother-daughter team, Angela and Haley Madison, who can sing for us at this time.
Yeah.
ladies. Our verse that Tim read earlier this morning was in 1 John chapter 5. I want to just remind you of what that said again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, because here's the word, the key word for our lesson today. John said, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So as believers, if confidence is important in the secular world for success, we need confidence also. And this is the confidence, John said, that we have in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that's a pretty amazing statement. And it should encourage us all in our prayer life that if we ask anything according to his will. How do you do that? That's maybe something we need to give some attention to. How are you sure you're asking according to his will? Well, you can begin by saying, "Lord, I am yours, and I'm accepted in the beloved. I want to surrender my will to yours. I want to be in the center of your will today." And then you have the Holy Spirit within you to make intercession for you with groanings before the throne of God, which cannot be uttered. So if you pray in that attitude and spirit, then I think anything you ask will be in his will. You're not going to be self-centered. You're not going to be asking for a blank check that you can write any amount and go out and buy whatever you want to buy. That's not the idea, but it's just asking according to his will because you've surrendered to his will and you're led by the Spirit, you're prompted by the Spirit in prayer. Now, I want to give you a few things today on the subject of practicing prayer that I think would be helpful to all of us, practicing prayer. And the word practice is suggestive of a daily habit, something that we do not occasionally, but regularly, like we practice many things. We habitually, regularly do a lot of things. We habitually give attention to our personal hygiene. We should brush our teeth every day. We should shower or take a bath every day if we can. Be a good practice. We should get some rest every day and eat proper food. Those things we practice daily because they're part of our life if we're going to be healthy. So it is spiritually we practice prayer. We practice prayer. And so let me just share with you a few things. Number one, if we're going to practice prayer, we've got to practice prayer persistently. Back in Luke chapter 18, 1, the chapter begins with these words, "And he," Jesus, "spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." So we need to be persistently in a frame of mind of prayer, frame of heart of prayer. It should not be just something we do in a crisis. We panic, so we pray. No, every single day, persistently practicing. And Jesus taught a parable that in. He talked about the widow that had a need and came before an unjust judge, before the court, and the judge cared nothing for God nor for widows, and he turned her away, but she was so persistent in coming that finally, just to get rid of her, he granted her a hearing and request. Now, Jesus uses a human event and illustration to transfer from that spiritual truth, the truth being, we need to come in the same frame of mind before the Lord persistently. Maybe we didn't get what we asked for today, but persist because God wants us to show an earnest desire. He knows what we are going to ask before we ask it. He knows our needs before we call upon him. But he delights as our Heavenly Father to see us coming persistently before him. Paul prayed. As you know, he had a prayer life that wouldn't stop. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." To the saints at Philippi, Paul said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." He said in Philippians 1, 3, he said those words. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, to Timothy, his son, his protege in the faith, he said, "Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day." Wouldn't you like to have somebody say that about you? I remember you night and day in my prayers. Occasionally, somebody will knock you off your feet by saying, "I pray for you every day." I'm sure Brother Croxton has had people say that over his course of ministry. We have too, and others have. "I pray for you every day." That's amazing. People that we don't even hardly know sometimes, but they've heard us or they've met us sometime or other. Paul could say that. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing." He was the kind of apostle that could say that and mean it, because that's exactly what he practiced. He was not one of the 12 who came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." But somewhere, sometime along the way, God taught him to pray. He put him in the seminary of prayer out in the Arabian desert, where he spent a lot of time. He says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18, I think it was that during that time, God took Paul to the school of prayer. Have you been there? Do you practice prayer? Do you persistently pray? Do you pray every day? Is it something you do day and night? Do you pray for others? We should. Secondly, not only pray persistently, but pray patiently. In James 5:17, we read these words: "Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Wait patiently. We're so impatient. We want things done yesterday. We just have not learned well how to just wait upon God patiently, but we should and we need to. And so it says here in James 5:7, "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain." People who garden and farmers, we don't have a lot of farmers in our country, but we probably have some gardeners who cultivate, and water, and then patiently wait. And it seems like those tomatoes will never come, but eventually they do, and then we enjoy the fruit of them for several weeks during the fall months. So that's the idea, just patiently. We just need to wait upon the Lord and keep on praying. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know: God answers prayer. I know not when he sends the word that tells that fervent prayer is heard. I know it cometh soon or late, therefore we need to pray and wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. Amen. Just leave it with him. Be patient. You might have to pray months. You may pray years for something, but God answers prayer, and he may answer it not the way you thought. As the poet said, not in just the guise that you wanted it to come, but it's going to come. Just keep on praying. Moses prayed, and God saved the nation from death. Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still. Hannah prayed, and God gave her a son against all odds, who became a great man of God. Elijah prayed, and God gave rain to end a three-year drought. Jonah prayed, and the great fish vomited him up on dry land. The three Hebrew children prayed, and God brought them safely through and out of a fiery furnace. Elisha prayed, and God gave him the mantle of Elijah, his mentor, with a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Daniel prayed again, and God closed the mouth of a lion, the mouths of lions. The thief on the cross prayed and asked that God would remember him. Jesus would remember him. He came into his kingdom, and that very day, he was with Jesus in paradise.
Jesus prayed, and five fishes and two loaves fed a multitude of people. The church prayed, and Peter
was delivered from prison. A handful of Christians prayed, and revival shook two continents for God. Cornelius prayed, and God sent Peter to lead him to Christ. We could go on and on. Paul said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen after the flesh, and multitudes of Israel were brought to Christ. A little Jewish girl prayed, and her master was healed of leprosy, a Syrian captain. John Knox prayed, and the Bible and the history says the Queen of Mary trembled. George Mueller prayed, and great orphanages sprang up in England that God supplied the needs for thousands of kids. Evans Roberts prayed, and revival swept Wales. I was thinking of all those prayers and all those praying people, and we could add a lot to the list of contemporary. I've read Lynn Croxton's testimony. It's on the paper back there on the table. And in 2016, he went to Nepal, and he was able to minister to 96 pastors and Christian workers that came in. And it cost thousands of dollars, but he prayed, and God brought the need in. Last year, 2018, he went again, and 100 Christian workers and pastors came in for a conference, much like Harrison Band has over in Zambia. But it was the work of prayer. It was people praying, not just Pastor Croxton, Evangelist Lynn, but it was people that he has ministered to through the years and people that know him. Prayer is a powerful thing, but we need to pray patiently. Not impatiently. Just leave it with God. Thirdly, number one, persistently. Number two, patiently. Thirdly, we need to pray believingly. James 1:5-6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need to pray believingly, believing that God delights to have us come as children, believing that nothing's too hard for God, believing that He will answer prayer, believing that there's nothing that He cannot do. And so that's the way we need, just believingly. Because if we doubt, it says in that James passage, we're like a double-minded man tossed to and fro with every wind. So we need to pray believingly. I read about Josh McDowell, who's a contemporary author and Christian. And he said that when his mother died, he was not sure of his salvation. Sometimes that's strange and hard to comprehend, but sometimes those who are closest to us, we have the hardest time reaching or having assurance that they have accepted the Lord Jesus. So he said when his mom, he became depressed. Was she a Christian or not? He thought to himself, I'm not sure. He was not in proximity to her. He was separated by thousands of miles. So he prayed. He said, Lord, somehow give me the assurance. Give me the answer that I can know so I can get back to normal. I just can't do anything. I'm stymied. I'm paralyzed. It seemed like an impossible request that he was making because his mother was gone. A couple days later, he drove out to the ocean side and walked out into a pier. There was an old lady sitting in an armchair there, a casual chair, and she was fishing off the dock. And they struck up a conversation. And she said, where's your home originally? And Josh said, Michigan, Union City. It's close to Battle Creek, the lady said. And he was kind of stunned because he didn't think anybody knew where Union City, Michigan was. She said, it's close to Battle Creek. She said, I had a cousin from there. And he said, did you know the McDowell family? And the lady said, oh, yes. She said, he said, my name is Josh McDowell. He said, yes. The lady said, I am a cousin to your mother. Josh said, do you remember anything about my mom? Do you remember anything about her spiritual life? Oh, yes. She said, when we were teenagers, she said, your mom and I went forward to an evangelistic crusade, a meeting, a revival meeting, and both of us accepted Christ as Savior. We both went forward. And Josh said, he said, praise God! Startled all the fishermen that were close around there. But he ended his story by saying, God delights to give us what we ask when we ask it in His will. Never underestimate His desire to respond to your needs, to your requests, to your prayers. I read that little story about Josh McDowell originally in one of our Daily Breads years ago, and Dennis DeHaan wrote it, and he concluded by saying, a surprise may just around the corner. Now, I read those on those little Chinese crackers. But this is spiritual, not just Chinese voodoo, but this is spiritual. A surprise. God, you never know what God has just around the corner. He's got a storehouse in heaven waiting to give you if we would but ask. That long-sought wish, oh, how I prayed. I thought it not divinely willed. And then the joyous, tear-stained smile of faith triumphant, hope fulfilled. If you get definite with God, God will get definite with you. But he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So we need to pray believingly. Number four, go to John chapter 16 with me, please. John 16. We need to pray intimately with God. This is something I fear we don't do too well. What do I mean by that? Well, let's let Jesus answer the question. How do we pray intimately? Here it is. In John 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse 23. In that day, this is part of Jesus' upper room instructions to his disciples, preparing them for his departure. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You know, Jesus just said there in that statement, there's going to come a time when you don't have to go to the Father through me. You go directly to him. In that day, you're going to ask me nothing. But there's going to be a time when you're going to go directly into his presence. Notice verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I have come from God. So the Lord Jesus is saying, you know, he is ever living at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. We understand that. He shed his blood. He did the work on the cross to bring about our salvation. His blood continually pleads before the Father. But there, there, Jesus was saying, he's your Father. You can go directly to him in prayer and ask him your petitions. The Holy Spirit's praying with us too. He's our prayer partner, as I've already said. We just need to get a hold of the fact. Notice that last statement. For the Father himself loves you. You've loved me and believe that I came out of God. I think what Jesus is saying there, just go directly to him. It's good to end our prayers in Jesus' name, claim his power and promises, but we can go directly into his blessed presence and ask that he would answer our prayers. So we need to pray intimately. And that comes to each of us personally as we would talk to him, as we talk to one another. We never cease to realize he's God. There should be a reverent spirit, reverent attitude, but we're also his children. And he loves to hear us voice our heart's concerns, our praise. We certainly ought to do that before we even address any petition. Our praises. He understands our fumbling words. But then just as a child to the Father, lay our hearts open before him, bare before him. Lord, you know my needs. God, you know my need. I need, and then spell it out. Simply in your words, because he understands our thoughts from afar off. He knows our down sitting from our uprising, and he knows what we're thinking. He feels our burdens, and he wants us to just lay our burdens before him, our simple words, intimately, as we would talk as intimately to any person on earth, more so to the Father who created us in his image and made us so that we could know him, love him, and serve him. What a great privilege. Prayer is such a great privilege. We need to practice it. We need to practice it every day, and we need to talk intimately to God the Father. Number five, we need to pray perpetually. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Somebody said, in fact, it was a professor, I strongly suspect that if we saw all the difference, even the tiniest of our prayers would make, and all the people those little prayers were destined to affect, all the consequences of those prayers down through the centuries, we would be so paralyzed with awe at the power of prayer that we would be unable to get up off our knees for the rest of our lives. Well, that may be an overstatement, but I think he made his point well. We just could never estimate the power of prayer. And we could never fathom the work that the tiniest, the simplest prayer would affect before God the Father. F.W. Robertson said, that prayer which does not succeed in moderating our wishes, in changing our passionate desire into still submission, the anxious, tumultuous expectation into silent surrender, is no true prayer and proves that we have not the spirit of prayer. That's a good statement to remember. When we pray intimately, when we pray believingly, it does change our heart. We want God's heart more than our own desires. We want his will to be done. Another person, in reference to the fact that we need to pray perpetually, said this. This was a Frenchman who said, learn to make good use of the chance moments when waiting for somebody, when going from place to place, or when in society, where to be a good listener is all that is required. At such times, it's easy to lift the heart to God and thereby gain fresh strength for further duties. I think anybody that's been a Christian for a while knows that that's what we need to do. We can pray at a stoplight. We can pray at our breakfast table while we're eating. We can pray anywhere, anytime, all through the day. We need to be in a constant mindset of prayer. It should not be just an occasional every other day thing where we spend some time. That should happen too, but all the time, praying perpetually, praying without ceasing. There is an eye that never sleeps beneath the wing of night. There's an ear that never shuts when sinks the beams of light. There's an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. There's a love that never fails when earthly love decays. That eye is fixed on seraph thrones. That arm upholds the sky. That ear is filled with angel songs. That love is throned on high. That there's a power which man can wield when mortal aid is vain. That eye, that ear, that love to reach, that listening ear to gain. That power is prayer, which soars on high through Jesus to the throne and moves the hand that moves the world to bring salvation home or down. Thank God for prayer, perpetually. Lastly, we need to pray practically. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Go there with me, please. It's probably on the screen, but it's good to turn your Bibles to the passage also. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. Paul is speaking in the context of speaking in tongues or prophesying, and he says, I'd rather speak five words in a known tongue than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. I want to be understood. And that's true, by the way, not only of speaking words, but it's true of singing songs. It's true of anything that we do before the Lord. Notice verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thy thanks, and seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So Paul is saying whatever we do, we need to do it with understanding. So I said, pray practically. pray in a way that makes sense. God can understand it, but we ought to pray in a way that if others are tuning in on our prayer, it makes sense. It's not just a bunch of self-centered gibberish. Practically, so that we're praising God and we're not praying frivolous prayers, but just practical. And so he says, I want to pray with understanding if I pray. I want to understand that God is great. I want to understand that I'm his child. I want to understand that I have open access into his presence. You know, it says, therefore come boldly, Hebrews chapter 4. Come boldly before the throne of mercy that you find grace and help in time of need. So we do have confidence in prayer. We thank God for that. We have confidence in prayer. So let me just reiterate the five or six things. As we pray this week, let's pray persistently, patiently, not giving God a deadline, patiently, praying believingly, not wavering, but believing that God is able, believing that God wants our good. And then four, pray intimately. Come to him in intimate words. Give your heart to him. Tell him you love him. Thank him often. Thank him sincerely for his love to you. Talk to him as you would your dearest lover, your dearest friend. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the lover of your soul. Talk to him intimately. Share with him your fears, your concerns, your deepest longings, your dreams. Share with God. He wants to hear you talk intimately with him. Go directly to him, knowing that Jesus is right there too, and the Holy Spirit is making intercession. Pray perpetually. Pray without ceasing. Pray when you go. Pray when you stop. Pray when you're coming and going. Pray all the time. Pray with your eyes open. Pray with your eyes closed. Pray when you're standing up. Pray when you're laying down. Pray, 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 pray. Make it a matter of breathing in and out with your soul. Breathing a prayer to God. Pray, pray. How can we get along without prayer? Pray perpetually and then pray practically. That's the message on prayer today. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege and the place and the practice and power of prayer in our daily Christian walk. If we're going to be successful, if we're going to cross the line and finish our course and fight our fight and run our race, we've got to do it praying before we get up, praying as we lie down, praying through the day, praying without ceasing, as Paul said, praying. Not just when we're on our knees, but also when we're on our feet. Not just when we're in prayer meeting, but when we're all alone. And when we're where nobody can hear us and see us, but you hear us and you see us. Oh, God, teach us the practice of prayer, please. It was so much part of Paul's life. He was such a great apostle. He was such a great missionary, evangelist, church planter. But we feel his pulse, and his pulse was prayer as we read his letters to churches and to his sons in the faith. Prayer was always at the top of his list. And Lord, thou knowest our weak need prayer today. The church is anemic not because we don't have funds or great, wonderful, talented people or beautiful, majestic buildings. The church is anemic and struggling for life today. We're on life support, as it were, because we have ceased to pray. We've wrung our hands. We've talked to people. We've paced the floor. Oh God, thou knowest, but we haven't done much praying. Forgive us. teach us to pray, as we heard the disciples' heartbeat, teach us to pray. And you taught them by this parable that we are reminded of in Luke 18. You taught them by teaching them to be persistent. So help us to remember that lesson going forward, to be persistent, patient, practical, and we pray that you would help us to be a people who see our prayers answered to your glory for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Take your hymnals. 274 in our hymnal this morning. 274. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation, a consecration maybe, because most of you are saved. But if you're not saved, would you come and let me have somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved and know you're saved? 274. Let's stand and sing. Now, if you're saved and your prayer life's just gone down the tube, you haven't prayed, you're not praying, this would be a good place to start, right on your knees. It's not a for show, but just humble yourself before God and say, "Oh God, I got the message. Help me to begin now, right now, this place, to become a person of prayer, to heed the preacher's message today, and to take it to heart and begin today to pray and pray and pray tomorrow and pray and pray and pray and pray. Would you do that today?"